a former boss of mine at PNC reached out to me and said he was running this bank in Ohio and he could use some help. And would I consider leaving Pittsburgh, where I'd lived my entire life, and PNC, where I'd spent 16 years. And I was in my mid-50s. And that was a, you know, change is always hard. What do they say? The only person who likes change is a wet baby. But but we went through the process, the interviewing process, and I got an offer and I took the job. And so I think I'm going to Ohio for this job. Turns out I'm there for the kingdom. And not a day has gone by since then when that hasn't, when I'm not reminded.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the Ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ. Welcome to Empowered Manhood. You know, often we as men can be oblivious to some of the things that are going on behind the scenes because we are so focused on being practical. We often focus on the temporal, the things we can feel, taste, and touch, because often we are problem solvers. We are results oriented, performance driven. And so we want metrics. We want tangible things we can measure and see the difference. And unfortunately, now don't get me wrong, there is great value to that. But unfortunately, we can often miss that stuff that happens under the surface. And so here's what I mean by that. What I mean is what God is doing behind the scenes. So we might be doing what we're doing, but God is always active in ways we can't perceive, doing things, accomplishing his will for his kingdom that we're not necessarily privy to, even things that he's doing through us that we don't realize he's doing. And I think of John, let me look this up here. Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 to 23. And this is just one example of many in the Gospels where Jesus predicts his death and resurrection to the apostles and to the disciples, telling them that he's going to die and that he's going to raise on the third day. But they miss it because they're so focused on what's happening in the here and now, the coming kingdom of God that Jesus talks about. The healing, the restoration of all sorts of people and things, and just this new joyous feeling that the kingdom of God is coming, but they had a very temporal perspective of it. And you see this example in Matthew here, where it says when they came together in Galilee, he, Jesus, said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. Now, real quick, the Son of Man is the title that Jesus gives himself, and he refers to himself as the Son of Man many times. So he's talking about himself being delivered into the hands of men, or in other words, arrested, taken captive, then killed, but yet he will raise on the third day, it says. Interestingly enough, though, the disciples' response to this was what? They were filled with grief. That's so interesting because today we celebrate. In Easter, we celebrate the fact that Jesus died but then raised to new life because of what that does for us. He paid the price for our sins. He paid the debt we couldn't pay. He was the substitutionary atonement for what we deserve, punishment for our sins. And the disciples, they missed it because they were so focused on the temporal. And as men, I know it's easy for us because we're very practical to fall into that same trap. Hi, my name is Mike Hatch and I am the host. Welcome to Empowered Manhood. I am here as usual with my co-host, author and speaker, Chris Bollinger. And today we are interviewing Lee Gerstenberger. A Western Pennsylvania native, Lee is the founding member of Strategic Connecting LLC, a consulting firm dedicated to inspiring, intriguing ideas that help individuals and organizations exceed their career, financial, and personal potential. Prior to founding his own firm, Lee spent his entire career in the financial services industry, holding senior leadership positions at PNC Bank, Huntington Bank, Mutual of New York, and Connecticut Mutual Insurance Company. Lee serves on the board of CLC and is actually a part of our national expansion team. Lee has been deeply involved in CLC since about 2008 when he experienced his first CLC experience, which he will talk about during our interview, during his Fence Post story. And at one point, though, he ends up moving to Ohio and CLC absolutely explodes out there as a result of God using him in that region. And you'll hear more about that as well. But the thing that Lee talks about a lot is something called business tree. And what he means by that is, and he'll explain this in the interview a little bit as well, but you know, we're going about our business, whether it's actually a real business, maybe we're entrepreneurs, a business owner, or just someone in the marketplace, we're going about our business. All the while, ministry is happening almost imperceptibly. God is working behind the scenes, where we can't see or perceive, accomplishing his will and the purposes of his kingdom, often through us in what we're doing on a temporal level. God is at work behind the scenes on a spiritual level, doing very actively, doing all sorts of things. And so Lee often will call this business tree. And he's popularized that term with many in CLC and in his spheres of influence. And people know him by that. And he is the connector of connectors. So he's got stories about everybody. I mean, every time you get together with him, he's got some story to tell about somebody else. That's a beautiful thing about Lee. He's very others centered, and you'll hear that in the interview. But I think the most beautiful thing is how Lee is able to tap into what might be going on behind the scenes, or have some idea that things are going on behind the scenes, even when he's doing something that might seem unrelated. And so I'm really excited for you guys to hear this interview with Lee and to get a little bit different perspective, maybe about the things that you're involved in. Maybe you are involved in business or something, you name it. Maybe it's in your family or in friendships, but God is doing something bigger and deeper. And my hope is that in this interview with Lee, I think you'll be inspired to look beyond the temporal and to begin to open your eyes to the ways God might be at work behind the scenes. So here is our interview now with Lee Gerstenberger. Lee Gerstenberger, welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast.
Thank you. Good to be with you guys today.
Yeah, man, this is exciting for us because, you know, you've been, you and I have been friends for a while. You know Chris, of course, well, and we'll get into a little bit about that story. Mm-hmm. But you are, I think, as Chris, you alluded to, you know, I think we refer to as the godfather of CLC. I know you're really comfortable with that.
Yeah, right.
Or at least in the Ohio area.
Yes.
You've had quite an impact. Or let's say it this way. God has used you as a vessel to impact a lot of men through CLC. And so it's going to be really fun to hear your story. And see, you know, get a peek, if you will, behind the curtain as to what makes Lee Gerstenberger tick here. But also, like, you know, so we'll hear about how you expanded CLC in Ohio, and then some thoughts on something you call business tree, which is a combination of business and ministry. I can't wait for guys to hear your thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, we'll talk a little bit about your thoughts on men's discipleship, which of course is kind of a thread that'll, you know, go through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start first, as we do with every guest. We'd love to hear your fence post story, although a briefer version than probably what you're used to sharing. And just for the benefit of those who haven't, is maybe your first episode, think about a fence along a property and every vertical post representing a significant moment or person in your life that kind of made you who you are today. So, Lee, let's hear a little bit about your fence post story.
Great. Well, thanks. Good to be with you guys. Mike, you and I have known each other a long time. Chris, you and I have known each other for a number of years, and it's interesting how our paths intersect, and look forward to sharing a little bit about that. But I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a traditional church. Church was a big part of my life. What I learned, though, is that I was mostly a cultural Christian for the first 40 years of my life. Very involved in church growing up, sang in the choir, you know, youth group, went on mission type trips. But probably the first fence post in my life was the week I graduated from high school. My father passed away at age 42 of a heart attack, very unexpectedly. Oh, wow. And that it would, you know, rock anybody's world. Yeah. But that really had a major impact in a lot of my life, which I'll share with you over the ensuing, you know, 30 or 40 years. I went off to college. This was the 60s and, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. I mean, all that crazy stuff. Thankfully, I grew out of that pretty quickly. Ended up, I'm a native Pittsburgher. I finished at the University of Pittsburgh, met my wife in my senior year in college. We were married 11 months later. Today, we've been married for 45, going on 46 years.
Wow. Praise God.
Yeah, two adult children. My son, talk about old. My son's going to be 40 this month in a week or so. I've got a 38-year-old daughter. I got six grandchildren. And my 95-year-old mother is still living. She lives with us now. And that's been an interesting part of our journey the last couple of years. So basically, I had spent a career in the financial services business. Again, stayed involved in church, but really didn't come to a saving faith till my late 30s, early 40s. And that occurred in the midst of a marital crisis. My wife and I really got to a point after about the 14, 15-year mark in our marriage where we were struggling. And as terrible as that was, it led us both back to Christ, and we both developed a saving faith in Christ through that trauma of really our marriage being on the rocks. Our children over the ensuing years both came to know who Christ was personally. And I guess the thing I would say is you really find out what kind of parenting job you've done as it relates to being the spiritual head of your household is when your kids go off to college, and if they choose to pursue their faith on their own in college, when you're not trying to get them out of bed every Sunday morning and stuff. And that happened to both our children, so we're grateful for that. And today, both our kids are involved in church. Both our son and daughter have gone through adult baptism. Our daughter just recently, as a matter of fact. And then I was introduced to CLC probably in 2000. And aside from accepting Christ personally, it's probably been the most significant thing that's happened in my spiritual life. And so that's a quick overview, Mike. I mean, I try to do it quickly. I hope you get the gist of it.
That's great. That's good.
Lee, can you talk a little bit about your CLC experience? Because I know you after that, mm-hmm. And you had a big influence by bringing CLC to Northeast Ohio. But sure. Can you talk about how CLC impacted you and why it impacted you that way?
Be happy to. So I think I was introduced to CLC in 2000. Danny Parker, who many people listening to this probably would know, that was the men's discipleship pastor at our church in Pittsburgh. And so I got into a CLC group, and I went through the 2 years, and it was probably the most unique experience I'd ever had. 12 guys meet weekly for 2 years for 2 hours a week, memorize scripture, read different books, and fellowship with one another at a deeper level than I'd ever experienced in my life. I like to tell people, the thing about guys is we're a mile wide and an inch deep. You know, guys can talk about sports, politics, their lawn, their golf game, you know, basketball, you know, whatever is on their heart. But very seldom do you have an opportunity to go deep into a relationship with guys, get below the surface. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that that's what CLC offered, I was sold out to it, as were the other 11 guys in my group. And so what does scripture say? There's a man who's closer than a brother. That's how Scripture describes the relationship between David and Jonathan. I'd never had a man closer than a brother relationship with anybody until I met these guys in CLC. And boy, that 2 years was an incredibly rich experience. And I grew more in my faith journey in that 2 years than I had grown in the 40 years of my life before that. So much so that after the 2 year first time I went through CLC was over, a couple of guys in my first group said, "Hey, we missed getting together. Could we do this again?" So I went through it a second time with 9 other guys in my church here in Pittsburgh. And again, just as rich an experience, you know, because there were 9 other guys that I developed a relationship with. So that, I mean, that's the short version of what CLC did. And we'll talk about the Ohio thing in a minute, probably, and some other observations on men's discipleship. But a very, very meaningful experience.
Had you, I forget if you said this or not, did you grow up in a Christian home?
Yeah, I grew up in a traditional church environment. And
okay.
You know, but I don't think I ever heard the gospel growing up. The pastor that I was sitting under mostly was talking about hellfire and damnation and how everybody was sinners and we're all going to hell. And that was sort of the end of his message every week, or at least that's what I remember.
Interesting. Okay. So God was never really approachable in your mind in a sense.
I never heard that you could have a personal relationship with Christ until I was in my 40s.
Okay. So obviously CLC had a huge impact on you.
Oh yeah.
And in your marriage, I'm sure, and your family. Mm-hmm. And then you moved to Ohio, and this is business. I mean, you right. moved for business purposes. But God had some other things in mind as well. Could you talk a little bit about what that transition looked like?
Sure.
Moving from Pittsburgh to Ohio, and maybe where did the impetus, you know, come in to start CLC out there?
Yeah. So here's a sort of a sub theme that's become very prevalent in my life. And it goes like this: what you think is happening may not be all that's happening. And that would be a good way to describe my move to Ohio. I had been in the financial services business, had a great job with PNC Bank here in Pittsburgh, loved what I was doing. But I needed a change. I needed to be challenged more. And so a former boss of mine at PNC reached out to me, said he was running this bank in Ohio and could use some help. And would I consider leaving Pittsburgh, where I'd lived my entire life, and PNC, where I'd spent 16 years. And I was in my mid-50s. And that was a, you know, change is always hard. What do they say? The only person who likes change is a wet baby. But but we went through the process, the interviewing process, and I got an offer and I took the job. And so I think I'm going to Ohio for this job. Turns out I'm there for the kingdom. And not a day has gone by since then when I'm not reminded of that. So I, you know, the Hudson, Ohio, where I was living, is about 100 miles from Pittsburgh. I'm working in Akron, which is just south of Cleveland. And I moved to Ohio, and I'm commuting for the first 6 months. And it's not like I'm looking for more to do. I mean, I leave Sunday night. I drive to Ohio. I work a couple of days. I drive back to Pittsburgh, try to help get the house sold and all that stuff. And the Lord puts on my heart that maybe one of the reasons I'm in Ohio is to introduce men to CLC. And as I said, I've got plenty to do. I got a new job. I'm in way over my head. I'm commuting, trying to buy a home, sell a home. I mean, I got all these stressors going on in my life, but I can't shake this idea. And so one of the few gifts I have is to network. And so I start sharing with people about CLC, the impact it's had in my life in Pittsburgh. And you know, over the course of a year, I build these relationships. And it took about a year. But the church I was attending in Ohio finally decided they wanted to give a try, you know, try out these CLC groups. And next thing you know, another church in Akron wanted to do it. And before you know it, there's a half a dozen CLC groups starting in Ohio, and I'm in one of them. And these things are taken off like they're going gangbusters. And make a long story short, I'm in Ohio for, first I should say, this is not about me. This is about how the Holy Spirit used Lee Gerstenberger to impact a little corner of the kingdom that he had placed me in. But 10 years later, there's 800 men that have gone through CLC in a couple of dozen churches. And today, because I've been gone from Ohio, because we moved back to Pittsburgh when I retired, so I've been gone 6 years now, there's two CLC area directors in Ohio and probably over 1,500 men that have gone through CLC. And Chris, I know you're one of them. And so I look back at that and I think, oh boy, I thought I was moving there for a job, but it turns out I was there for the kingdom. And so that's the short version of that story.
CLC was really embraced pretty quickly, it seems to me, in Northeast Ohio. I mean, you got there, what year did you get there?
2008, really.
Yeah, 2008. And I got into a group in just a couple years after that. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the meeting where they were kind of explaining what CLC was, and I've shared this before on the podcast, but it was very daunting to me because, you know, I didn't relate to guys. I didn't really have a lot of close male friends, none in the church, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew some guys, but I really wasn't friends with them. And we go to this meeting where they say, oh yeah, you're going to spend the next 2 years of your life, you know, in a very close relationship with 12 guys and, you know, on and on. And I'm just like, yeah, man, this is a big ask of me, you know, somebody who has never done anything like this before. But they explained it like they had been doing it for decades. I think you might have been at that meeting, Lee. I can't remember, but the guy who was doing men's ministry at that church was talking like this had been, you know, tried and true. And it turns out that it was only really getting started at that church, maybe for a year or two. So why do you think people embrace this very challenging program so quickly and really, really began to call it their own in a short amount of time?
Well, I think two things. Hal Haddon, of course, who was the founder of CLC and, you know, the author of the curriculum that we use today. I mean, he really, he latched onto something. Who is it? Blaise Pascal said there's a God-shaped void in every man waiting to be filled. Well, I think there's also a void in intimate friendships that men are missing with other men. You know, you use the word intimate and man. In a relationship, it conjures up all kinds of things. But the fact of the matter is, men do crave intimacy with other men. And what CLC has done, by the grace of God, is there's a process that allows guys to do that. I mean, it starts with the overnight. It starts with the fence post sharing. It starts with the confidentiality. And it's a place where guys can just be guys. And there aren't a lot of places for men like that. I jokingly tell people, you know, my wife and I, you know, we commute back and forth to Pittsburgh to see family and friends and stuff. And we'd stop in, I think it's mile 296 on the Ohio Turnpike where there's a Starbucks at the rest stop. She'd go into the restroom. She'd come back with two or three ladies that she's chatting away with like she's known them her whole lives. I mean, I go to the restroom, I don't talk to anybody. But my point is for women, building relationships is easy. It's second nature. For guys, to your point, Chris, it's hard. It's work. It's intimidating. It's not something we're comfortable with. And so when all of a sudden you're given an opportunity, put in a relationship or an environment where that's possible, and that void can start to get filled. And once it starts to get filled, guys just sort of lean into it because they know it's been missing in their lives. So I think it's the Holy Spirit. It's the curriculum that Hal created. It's the void that we have in our lives. I think those all intersect, and CLC is one of many tools that allow guys to do that. But I think the other thing is, it's been around 40 plus years now. So while it may have only been at that church in Hudson for a couple of years, there's a long history. And so it has been tried and proven, and it was a tried and true formula, so to speak.
And to your point, Lee, I mean, once my group went through it, even before the end of the 2 years, one, we didn't want to stop. And luckily for us, they had just introduced another program because they only had the one mm-hmm. when we started, but they had the Next Steps program, which mm-hmm. was brand new. So we all, let's do that, you know,
oh, right.
Because we didn't want to break up. But we became the biggest evangelists for this program. You know, anybody that had been through, oh, it's great. You got to try it. You know, overcome your concerns and the intimidation and just do it. So mm-hmm. I think that must be the phenomenon pretty much everywhere is that, yeah. you know, you get a couple of guys to take the plunge. And then once they do it, they tell all their friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lee, can you share the story about how you and Chris met? And because I think this ties into what you said before, the business tree thing, where you think you're going for some reason, but God has some other underlying reason. Because I just think that's such a cool story of God working behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, and here's what I remember about meeting you the first time, Chris. I'm working at this bank in Akron. One of my colleagues was your banker. And she says to me, hey, I'm going to go down the street to see some of our clients. They own this little high-tech company. Why don't you come along? I'd like to introduce them to my boss and the manager of the department. So I go in and I meet you. And I think it was one or two of your colleagues. And,
right.
And just a business conversation. And, you know, nice guys, nice to meet you. Here to help. You know, I'm in the relationship building business. So I'm just trying to build relationships and give clients the opportunity to have access to a senior executive at the bank. So, you know, I remember that. And I remember Lori, my colleague and your banker, always telling me about you and your company. And I think, you know, because I was running the private bank, there were occasional social events that, you know, we would do for customers and you'd be there and, you know, I'd say hello, but I don't really think we ever really knew each other. Now that you mention it, I think I do remember that I remember that info session that you would have come to talk yeah. about CLC.
Right.
But I'm embarrassed to say, I'm not even sure I made the connection. Oh yeah, that's Lori's client or that's
right.
But I knew we had known each other. And then I end up retiring from the bank and getting more involved in CLC and my sort of the Encore career part of my life. And I'm in Nashville for a CLC event. And there you are. And you had just come out with your devotional. I'm thinking, wait a second, Chris Bollinger. I mean, I knew him from Akron. Yeah, he's a CLC guy. And so I just think, okay, Lord, how cool is this? So that's the, that's, you know, we'll call it the 6 degrees of CLC.
I love it. I love it. Cause you met him initially, didn't realize what God was doing. And then Chris was kind of indirectly influenced and impacted by you starting CLC there. And then you trace those breadcrumbs forward and Chris, you've now written this devotional, which has had a huge impact in men's lives and has become a CLC curriculum in and of itself. And who knew?
Yeah, what I thought was happening when I met Chris Bollinger for the first time isn't all that was happening.
Well, and I mean, and you keyed on, you know, the relationship aspect of, you know, whether it's men's discipleship or financial services. I mean, the only reason we went with the bank that you joined in, we went with them, I guess, a year or two before you got there. We were a startup looking mm-hmm. looking for, you know, a bank that would provide us with some sort of a loan. And we had always been taught that, well, you know, you're a small business, you can get a small business loan. And it turns out that most banks only lend money to people who don't really need it in the first place. I mean, we couldn't get anybody to talk to us. They kept saying, well, you know, what customers do you have? Well, we were a startup. We didn't have any customers yet. And we were so excited about our business plan, which ultimately turned out to be very successful. But, you know, it was all about the relationship. When First Merit came in, they actually took us seriously. And it was the relationships that we built, not just with Lori, but with Lee later and others mm-hmm. at the bank. And so I'm sure, Lee, you had some influence on that. But even before you got there, there were people at that bank who understood the value of relationships. Yeah. Yeah. And that made all the difference in the success of our company. We couldn't have done it without the bank's help.
Mm-hmm.
It really was a God thing. every step of the way with that bank and the relationships that were built there. And then, you know, the relationship that I began to develop with Lee helped me get into CLC. And the reason I wrote the devotional was because of the experience I had had in CLC and wanting to give back. So it really does come full circle.
Yeah. Very cool.
Wow. Yeah. And now we get to serve together on CLC and everything. And I think of, there's a veteran that I met with recently who started a ministry. I'm hoping to have him on the podcast at some point, but he talked about this idea of situational awareness. And they talk about that, of course, in the military, and especially in your training and stuff like that. But there's a certain situational awareness when it comes to walking in step with the Spirit that we as men also, and that's his point, is that as men, we need to be at least aware of the fact that God is at work doing things in ways we don't see and can't perceive yet.
Right.
Or maybe there are some things we get hints about and that we can lean into. But I just think that's such a key deal is at least understanding at some level, God's at work and being open to seeing what maybe God might be doing, where it might be a little bit harder to perceive.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, Lee, you've got a lot of experience mentoring and discipling men through CLC and even in other organizations. I know you've led groups. And so I'm anxious to get your thoughts on men's discipleship and the things that you've learned over the years, from obviously in Orchard Hill where you started and then going to Ohio and having that experience and then moving back. And this whole time you've been, I don't know. Have you ever not been in a group since you started CLC?
Not for very long.
Yeah.
Not for very long. When I was in Ohio, I would, like the first group I started, as it was wrapping up, I would recruit guys from another group, and I'd spend the last month in group one, A, and then start group B. And so I ought to be in a 12-step program to recover from being addicted to CLC. When you talk about men's discipleship, let me just make an observation, go back to something I shared. I mentioned my dad died of a heart attack at age 42 when I was 18, a week before I graduated from high school. And of course, that would rock anybody's world, and it rocked mine. But I didn't realize the impact that that had had on me for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as I look back on it, here's a couple of things. Most of my friends, I said many of my friends, are men who are 10 to 15 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that till about 20 years later. Because what I was doing subconsciously, I was looking for a role model, a replacement for my dad. And so I have friends today that are, you know, I'll be 69. I have a lot of men who are friends who are pushing 80 or 85, who've been in my life for 30, 40 years, because subconsciously I was thinking that, you know, I needed mature men in my life that could be role models. I'll tell you when this really hit me. I was listening to Dr. James Dobson one day, and Dobson, his father died when he was very old. I'm going to say in his 80s. And Dobson and his father had this great relationship for years, and he would talk about him all the time on his podcast, his radio show. Yeah, this is before podcast. And they'd hunt together, they'd fish together, they, you know, spend a lot of time together, vacation together. And when Dobson's father died, Dobson was probably in his 60s or 70s, his dad was, you know, 20 years older. I heard Dobson make this comment: nothing brings a man face to face with his own mortality like the death of his father. Mm. And boy, when I heard that for the first time, and again, I'm in my 40s, it finally dawned on me that losing my father at age 18, as terrible as it was, also put me on a trajectory to spend time with other men. And the older I got, not only did I want to spend time with other men to be mentored, but I saw the value in spending time with other men who might be younger than me, that, you know, that I could either give something to, I could mentor them or help them grow or help them avoid some of the mistakes or trials and tribulations that I made. And so the CLC discipleship thing sort of fits into that, because whether the men are younger than me or older than me, you know, we all know that somebody told me years ago, there's a law of the ladder. It's, well, we might call it the Paul Barnabas Timothy process. You know, we all need a Barnabas in our life that can help us up the ladder. We all need to be a Paul to somebody who's a Timothy that we're trying to grow and develop. And if we're Pauls, we get as much out of helping people up the ladder or being helped by somebody up the ladder. And that's how we grow. And so there's an illustration of, I think, what CLC is all about. Let you be a Paul to somebody and be a Barnabas to somebody else and play the role of a Timothy in somebody's life.
I love that example because whatever age you are, whatever experience you are, you can learn from someone else in a group like a CLC group. Mm-hmm. And you can also maybe not mentor necessarily, but you can help somebody else out. One thing that struck me in my CLC group and other groups that I've been in is you usually click with a couple of guys more than the rest. Mm-hmm. And it's usually because you've got a shared experience that the other guys in the group may not have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's critical for a guy, because I think guys are looking for guys that will get them, will understand them. And somebody explained this to me, and this doesn't relate to guys specifically, but somebody explained to me that if you're a woman and you go through a miscarriage, who can relate to that? You know, your husband can to some level, but not real. You really need to talk to a woman who's been through that or something very similar to that, and she will get you and she will be able to help you through that process. And I think guys need the same thing. We need somebody who's been Absolutely. Through something similar to what we've been through, and we can be that guy to somebody else. And I discovered this when I got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really couldn't relate to divorced guys before that, and now I can. So I can help a brother who's either going through a difficult marriage or has gone through a divorce, because I've been through that similar or same situation.
Yeah, that's so true. There's some, actually, it reminds me of the kickoff overnight that CLC has when they start their groups, because you get these 12 guys in a room. Often they've never met one another.
Right.
They start telling their stories. And next thing you know, somebody's saying, oh, that guy struggles with that. Oh, that guy's got a drinking problem. Oh, he's struggled with pornography, or he came from a broken home, or he's divorced. And all of a sudden, you feel like you can relate on subjects that, again, back to the mile wide, inch deep, because guys only do surface stuff.
Right.
When a guy opens his heart and shares, it creates a forum for guys to relate at a deeper level to one another.
A couple of things that stick out to me is you were just sharing, and Chris, you brought kind of this up as well, is the, you know, unfortunately, those in a more advanced life stage, we'll put it that way.
You mean people who are chronologically gifted like
yeah,
me?
That's right, Lee. There's such an opportunity that's missed there, because I think often, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, how they will disqualify themselves mm-hmm. because they feel irrelevant, or maybe they've legitimately felt and been dismissed by the church in some way. And yet there's these younger generation, man, they are yearning for someone to pour into them who's more experienced and chronologically gifted.
Yeah. Well, two things about that, Mike. When I was getting ready to retire, my pastor at the church in Hudson, Chris, suggested I read a book. It's a secular book. And the concept of the book was that baby boomers are going to change what retirement looks like in the 21st century. You know, our parents lived, worked till they were 60 or 65. Their goal was to retire. When they retired, they golfed, gardened, traveled till they couldn't do it anymore. Then they either went in the nursing home or keeled over and life was done. I mentioned earlier, my mother, who we moved in with us, is going to be 95 this year. I'm going to be 69. If I outlive her, that's another, 25, 30 years. I got 25 to 30% of my life ahead of me in theory, potentially. That's a long time to golf, garden, and travel, even if you like doing it. And so what I figured out is that I better come up with an encore career, something that I enjoy doing. You know, probably not going to make the kind of money I made in my prime, but most people are wired in such a way as that they want to add value, get back, and make a difference. And if you can figure out what that is, and for me, it's a lot of it's men's discipleship, CLC, mentoring. It can be very, very rich and rewarding time of our lives. I mentioned we moved back to Pittsburgh, and my wife says to me, oh, our church has a thing called prime timers. It's for people that are, again, 65 and over that want to get together. And they meet once a month and they do a service project. They hear a speaker and they have coffee and donuts. And she said, let's go to prime timers. I said, okay. So we go and it was great. And I saw a lot of people that I've known for years. And we left and I said, hey, that was great, but I don't need to go back there anytime soon. And she said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, I love those people. They're great. But I want to spend my time with young people that I can pour my life into. I don't want to just hang out with people that we can commiserate about the good old days or listen to a speaker. There may be a time when that's all I am able or want to do. And again, nothing against folks that are at that stage in their life. But if I've got 20 to 25% of my life ahead of me, I want to pour it into people. And so I'm fortunate, CLC and through this business tree concept that I came up, that somebody introduced me to a few years ago, I've been able to do that.
Okay. I see that, Lee. I spend half my time in Southwest Florida.
Okay.
Which is, if you want to work on your golf game or your tennis game or your pickleball game or, you know, pretty much anything where you want to go see some alligators or just, there's tons of stuff to do to kind of enrich yourself. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of people who are doing that down there and there's nothing wrong with it, but in a lot of people, I see this desire or this hunger to do more than that.
Yep.
And if they're from the North, they're kind of itching to get back there because I think they're more, you feel pretty vital when you're playing tennis outside in January. I got to give you that. I mean, it's 70 degrees and you're outside in the middle of January and you know that everybody up in the Pittsburgh and Northeast Ohio areas is probably shoveling a foot of snow. But there's kind of this missing element when you're down there because you're not interacting with people who are at a different stage of life than you. And I have that hunger when I'm down there all the time. I'm having a great time myself and I'm trying to get involved in the community down there and the church down there, but I'm itching to get back north and get back to kind of a quote normal life.
Right.
Because you're left wanting when you're just doing stuff for yourself.
Right.
And that can happen at any age, but I see it in a very pronounced way in the seasoned citizens that are down there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that resonates with me. I think that a lot of guys who are our age, around our age, late 50s, late 60s, are really, they want to do more and they're looking for opportunities to do more. And I think CLC's, I mean, there's lots of opportunities, but I think CLC is an excellent one for guys like that.
Yeah, it is. Cause it's, as Lee said earlier, I mean, it gives you an opportunity to get together with guys in kind of an intergenerational group, ideally, you know, especially if the church is intentional on that. And man, the value and the richness of that experience, you can't replicate it very easily. And then the last thing that stuck out too that I mentioned that Lee, that you said was that the significance of when you get into a group like that and you get to hear other people's stories, you get to share yourself and you begin to, I've said it before that you gain a language through other people's stories, be able to describe your own or mm-hmm. new perspective on your own life experiences. And I love how you shared that you didn't realize the impact your dad's death had on you, the significance of it until you got in that group. And I think maybe gained a little perspective from other guys.
Yeah. I've heard a term, it's probably been around a long time. I just heard it recently. We all have father wounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have mother wounds and father wounds. Some of them are very severe, but everybody's, what do we say? There's no guidebook on becoming a parent. The way people learn to parent is by watching the way they were parented. And if they were parented well, then you got an advantage. If they were not parented well, you got some work to do to overcome. In my case, my father grew up in a household where his father was a World War I veteran. So his dad was a Stoic. So mm-hmm. my father was a Stoic. Mm-hmm. I remember as a young child, elementary school age, I remember my father tickling me, wrestling with me, tousling my hair when I had hair, stuff like that. but then I also remember at about age 12 or 13, that all changed. My father wasn't very demonstrative. My father, I know he loved me, but I don't remember him hugging me or telling me he loved me when I got to be my teenage years. Matter of fact, he was an executive with a steel company here in Pittsburgh, and he would go on business trips and he would say to me, okay, now son, you're the man of the house while I'm gone. Well, when you're 13, when somebody's telling you you're the man of the house, you're like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of weighty responsibility. And my point is, he passes away and, 5-10 years later, I become a father. And I realized, thanks to CLC, that I'm acting out the same type of fatherhood patterns that he was. I'm a Stoic. I'm not demonstrative. And when I realized that, I thought, oh, I got to change this. I mean, I can tell you, from the time I left home and went to college until I was probably in my 40s, I never hugged or kissed my mother. I never told her I loved her. I did, but I never told her that. I realized I wasn't hugging my kids. I wasn't kissing them. I wasn't being demonstrative. And so I, thanks to CLC and the awareness that grew in my life about the way I was raised, I wasn't raised in a bad way. I just raised through blind spots in the way I was raised. I realized I had to change that. And so, I mean, I got a 40-year-old son. Every time I get off the phone with him, I tell him I love him. When I say goodbye to him or when I see him when he walks into my house, I give him a kiss on the cheek and I hug him around his neck. Same thing with my daughter. My mother lives with me. I tell her I love her every night before she goes to bed. And I think that's something that's changed in me. Because of an awareness that I've grown to appreciate from my CLC experience. And I don't know if I would have come to it any other way.
Man.
And it's never too late to change. That's the beauty of it. You know, doesn't matter what age you are, what you've done wrong in the past. When you have that realization, you can begin to make amends and do life differently.
That's right, man. Lee, that is so cool. Thank you for sharing that, brother.
Sure.
Really appreciate that. I think guys are listening to this. I know they're resonating with that and probably yearning for that themselves.
Right.
So,
right.
As I've said multiple times on the show, reach out if you are interested in starting a CLC group yourself. We would love to help you. Myself, Lee, you're part of you and I get to work together. You're part of your role with CLC currently is in national expansion, correct?
Mm-hmm.
right? And so you and I get to work together, me as a national relationship generator. And man, so we're looking, we're on the lookout for churches and organizations who may want to start to bring guys together and form groups to have this experience themselves. And man, I'm telling you, I think the future, our men need this for the future, for the future of our country, of as Christians, our future in this world, whatever that looks like, the impact that that God wants to have for the sake of His kingdom. I think we need this. So,
But to that point, Mike, I would just say, if I could interrupt you for a second, the only thing that prevents us from getting more groups started are men willing to step up and say, "I'll facilitate," or getting a buddy and co-facilitating. And my experience, and I've done over a half a dozen CLC groups. My experience is that as much as everybody in the groups get things, you know, get something out of it, as a facilitator, you get more out of it than it's like anything else. You know, you're teaching a class, you get more out of it than sometimes the people that are that are taking the class. And that's been my CLC experience. As wonderful as it's been for the men that have been in CLC with me, and it's changed people's lives. Chris, it changed your life. Mike, I know it's changed your life. I get so much out of facilitating a group. And so my challenge to the guys that are listening is, if you're trying to take your faith walk to the next level, think about finding a buddy and co-facilitating a CLC. It's really not a lot of work, but it could be a very rich and rewarding experience for you. So, amen. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fantastic. Thank you, Lee. So if Lee, if folks wanted to reach out to you, how do they contact you? How do you have a business online? You've got a website. How would people reach out to you?
Well, you could Google me and you'll find my website is strategicconnecting.com, or you could email me at hlg123@gmail.com. With a last name like Gerstenberger, you need a short email address, hlg123@gmail.com.
That's awesome. Great. So we'll put that in the show notes, of course. I really, Lee, thank you for joining us. This has been so inspiring.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
All right. So Lee, yeah, I'd love to pray for you, man. And see you off. I really appreciate you taking the time. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you, God, for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord, especially as it's been demonstrated in Lee's life, in the role that other men have played in his life through CLC groups and other groups, Lord. Just, man, thank you, Father, that you're present in each one of us who've put our faith in you, and we get to experience you through each other and in these relationships, God. And man, it's so clear that you have impacted Lee's life, and now Lee has turned and impacted others as a result of what you've done. God, continue to sustain him, strengthen him in his current mission with CLC, with Strategic Connections, in his family, Lord. And Father, we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, thank you. Great being with you guys.